you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And also reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, and I'll specifically be talking about the Lord's Prayer as recounted in verse 9 through 13. But setting the context, beginning at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And before that, I read Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. Well, listening friends, buckle up, as I have much to share and say. First, I'll give you an FYI, then an update, and a backdrop to the story and sharing I'd like to present. First, those of you that tune in to 102.5, 103.9, or 97.1 will be going off the air for about a day, maybe a day and a half, as we move our antennas from one tower to another tower, and in the next couple days I'll have a definitive date, but it'll take about 10 plus hours to pull the antennas off, along with the coax transmission cables, check out things, reconnect, move them over, and attach them to the new tower. So during that time, WGNN at 102.5 FM and the additional frequencies, 103.9 FM in Champaign and 97.1 FM in Clinton, those will be off the air until we can reestablish everything on the new tower. So that's an FYI. Be listening for details in the next couple days. An update on the newsletter that we sent out recently. Right around $25,000 have come in. Thank you, God, for that. Our ultimate need is $87,000 to purchase a new transmitter, a backup generator system, and a backup internet system. So we thank God for the $25,000 that has come in, leaving about a $52,000 need to purchase those items and get them all set up in the days ahead. Okay, a little backdrop, why I chose those verses to open up today's edition, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. As for about a year now, I've been saying and praying the Lord's Prayer every day when I wake up and then before I go to bed. So it's just something I do and I think about. I go through each and every word. I think about, why did the Lord choose that word, or how can I express it back to him in prayer? And so just about every morning, just about every evening as I lay in bed, I say that before I fall asleep. Well, for about 2 or 3 months, I've been really passionate about thinking it through. And if I had an opportunity to preach, I would preach on the Lord's Prayer. And I've just thought about what I'd say and how I'd say it and illustrations I would give. I just kept getting enthusiastic, thinking, I just got to convey this somewhere. Well, as only the Lord can do, especially when he wants to stretch you, I received an email from Richard Jones. He attends the Arrowsmith Christian Church in Arrowsmith, Illinois. And he said, Mark, our pastor's going to be on vacation. Might you know of a pastor or somebody at the station that could fill in? And so I know a lot of gifted pastors, some retired, some because of schedule could work that out. And so I said, yeah, let me pray about it and I'll get back to you. And as only the Lord would do, he started convicting me that, Mark, you're supposed to deliver a message. And I first thought of, I love that Colossians 3, 23 and 24. That's one of my favorite go-to passages in Scripture. You know, whatever you do, really, meaning whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And so I better be careful because I'll get on a whole roll. But I love the points of application and how we might be paid by a company, a ministry, a business enterprise, you know, paid by them. But ultimately, we have to see the work that we do as working for the Lord, whether that's in a vocation or even in the home. And so I thought, that's going to be my verse. But then I started thinking, I've been wanting to talk about the Lord's Prayer for weeks, if not months. And I have more to that story, too. So I responded to Richard and said, hey, I can do it. And he said, great. We meet at 9 a.m. So we touched base a time or two. And then at one point I said, Richard, I want to share from Colossians 3, 23 and 24, but I also want to walk everyone through the Lord's Prayer. So maybe I can do both and then give some radio history and highlights and God sightings and convey when you work at whatever the Lord has assigned you to do, he'll bring about special things, sometimes maybe even miraculous. So that was the plan. Well, yesterday, as you can imagine, somebody who likes to talk and share, I only scratched the surface. I don't even think I got to any of my notes as I opened up with a very brief overview of Colossians 3, 23 and 24, and then went right into the Lord's Prayer word by word, talking it through and actually praying some of it through. And so I think I want to do some of that with you today. And in light of the fact that we're going to be launching a new prayer initiative in the coming days called Pray the Lord's Prayer at Noon, also Say the Lord's Prayer at Noon. I got the domains both .com and .org of praythelordsprayeratnoon.com, praythelordsprayeratnoon.org, saythelordsprayeratnoon.com, saythelordsprayeratnoon.org. And we're going to do something with that website, but I think it's going to be something that God's going to use to unify the church, encourage the believers, motivate us to pray, and who knows how God might respond to thousands, tens of thousands, maybe millions of people saying the Lord's Prayer, praying the Lord's Prayer at noon every day. I mean, just think of it. You're in a restaurant and people's phones or timers or watches go off. Bing, it's noon, and they bow their head or they stop from eating. As Bishop Jonathan Franklin said last Tuesday on Testimony Tuesday, you fast for those 30 seconds. It's a 30-second prayer that we can all pray, almost any age, and almost all denominations and all churches revere the Lord's Prayer. Well, anyways, lest I digress some more, I got to the Arrowsmith Christian Church yesterday at about 8:30, wanted to get there a little earlier than the 9 o'clock service, was greeted by Richard Jones. He helped preside over the service as they served communion, and he made announcements and helped facilitate the transition between the song sung and the leader people response, and then he introduced me. But I was also met at the door by greeter extraordinaire Cheryl West, handing me a bulletin, a warm welcome, assistant greeter Ray Wilson, I think a retired firefighter from Arrowsmith, and was instrumental in helping their children's VBS twist and turns, as I guess the Arrowsmith Fire Department was very involved helping with that event. And then by way of shout-out, I appreciate Josh Skaggs, who was encouraged by the message, along with his sweet, adorable two daughters, Richard Jones's granddaughters, Addison and Riley. If you're listening, you two are going to go far. But it was a sweet congregation, very welcoming, and I guess I was kind of dialed up because some said it was refreshing to see someone so passionate. I guess I could kind of get wound up, especially when I got to talk about the Lord's Prayer. So anyways, it was a wonderful congregation. After being introduced, I shared briefly about Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Who are we really working for? Well, listening friend, we're working for the Lord. Yes, paid by, for me many years, Jewel Food Stores, now Great News Radio. But I would hope you would also look at whatever you do as working for the Lord, no matter how you're being paid, or if you're retired or incarcerated or in the hospital, there are still things you can do and do them as unto the Lord. I think it can really transform how you think. Well, after a few brief remarks, I guess you would say I preached on, or I certainly talked about, the Lord's Prayer word by word. I went through them all, as I wanted everyone to capture the essence, the template, if you will, what Jesus wanted us to glean, to learn from the words that he said, this is how you are to pray. And that's set up in verse 9 of chapter 6 in Matthew, where he says, this then is how you should pray. I should also say what I greatly appreciated about Arrowsmith Christian Church is that each and every Sunday they recite the Lord's Prayer together. So it was right there in the bulletin. So I had everyone look at it as then I started with the Our Father who art in heaven. I said the Jewish mindset in that day and age when Jesus taught this was very different than how us, especially in America, being very individualistic. Like the Hebrew mindset is you just never pray for yourself. Say you need a job, you have health issues, or there's some kind of crisis. You would say, Lord, I pray for this job I'm going to be interviewing, and I pray for all those that are interviewing for jobs. Lord, I'm praying for this health issue. It's been determined I have, you know, whatever you would say, cancer. Well, Lord, I also pray for all those that are being treated for cancer or are learning they have cancer. And so that our, and it's mentioned throughout, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us. So it's that plural. It's not just you, though you can go to a very personal God who loves and cares for you individually. We should always be thinking of this Lord's Prayer as inclusive. And he's not just my Father in heaven, though he is, he's our Father in heaven, which means he cares about your neighbor, your friend, those in a different political party, those that you disagree with, those that are different from you, and on and on and on. God loves everyone, and he's all of our fathers. Now, those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ and have accepted him as Lord and Savior, well, we do have that special relationship with God. But we don't want to ever minimize anyone else because God does love them and he wants all to come to know him. So anyways, that's how I began. Our Father. Well, the Father, this is just not this sovereign entity, though God is. He's righteous. He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's immutable. He's glorious. He's everything and more. He's way beyond our greatest thought or concept. But this word Jesus used, Father, is an intimate. It's like daddy. And so it was radical for the Pharisees, the religious leaders, to hear him say, like daddy God who's in heaven. They were probably riled up because how dare anyone treat God as like a daddy, as an intimate, loving, caring father. But listening friend, and this is what I shared at Arrowsmith, this is true. God is that way. He cares, he's compassionate, he's loving, he's full of grace. Yes, he's righteous, he's holy, he's unapproachable in his glory. And yet Jesus wanted us to go to him with the understanding he's the best of the best of the best. And I've said this many times over the air, we always have to be careful we don't indict God the Father according to maybe some of the ways our earthly dads have treated us or misrepresented God, or at least the title is Father. So when you think of Father, you think of maybe some abusive memories or when you were let down or he didn't measure up or your dad wasn't around or you might not even know who your dad was. So when you think of Father God, you don't have a wonderful understanding of him. Well, anyways, I camped out there for a while, and I see I'm kind of running out of time, but I went through every single word. He's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Whenever I pray that in the morning or at night, I always think of holy, holy, holy. And so when I say hallowed be thy name, I always say holy, 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 because God is holy. He's set apart. He's one of a kind. You know, praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, when you understand the goodness of God, the sovereignty of God, the greatness of God, the character of God, it's easy to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because you can trust in him. You know his motives are the perfect motives, the best motives. The end result is always the greatest means, methods, ways of you growing in the Lord, finding fulfillment, being refined in your character, modeling Christ in new ways. We always want the Lord's will. Then the prayer goes on, give us this day our daily bread. I shared how I struggle with that because the Lord has provided so much. I don't know what it's like to go without bread, to not have food in the refrigerator, in the cabinets, or be able to go out to a restaurant. So usually when I pray that part, I usually thank the Lord for the bread that he's provided, the nutrients, the food, the beverages, everything being a gift from him. And I sometimes feel very spoiled, whereas people throughout the world are hungering. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so usually I just thank him during that time when I pray. And then there's that huge seismic shift. We go from give us this day our daily bread to forgive us our debts and forgive others. Now, the debts, some will say transgressions. I like to say sin. That's what it is. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others that have sinned against us. Now, this being forgiven of sins and forgiving others has powerful ramifications. As the Bible says, those who have been forgiven much love much. I don't know about you, but you may want to assess your life. Have you said careless words? Have you lost your temper? Have you lied? None of this white lie. Have you not told the truth in some instance or bent the truth? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the mark. You may say, yeah, but I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't broken some of those major commandments. Yeah, but have you killed someone's reputation? Have you murdered someone in your mind and heart? Have you gossiped? Have you thought evil of someone? For me, I think about how many careless words I've used for years, unkind things that I've said. And so when it boils down to me looking at the Lord's Prayer, I have been forgiven much, and I do love much because I thank God daily for the sacrifice of the greatest gift that he could give, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't earn my way into heaven. I can't be good enough. I can't measure up. I have fallen short. I have sinned. I have missed the mark. Realistically, I was destined for hell. I didn't deserve God's grace or mercy, and yet he saw fit to redeem me. Oh, listening friend, I have been forgiven much. I love much. And I would hope, I would pray, I would exhort you, think about where you've missed the mark. Think about how you have fallen short. Because when you do, I think you ascertain or you receive or you garner or you understand you have been forgiven much. And as you recognize yourself as a sinner, like I'm a sinner, then you learn to forgive others. And Jesus makes it clear here. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those in debt to us. And so it's a powerful principle. It's a powerful command. And then lead us not into temptation. I camped out there for a while. It's always been a little bit of a mystery. Why would we pray that God would not lead us into temptation? Of course he wouldn't. This great sovereign God doesn't want us ever to sin. Why would we ask him to not lead us into temptation? And I learned some years ago, the better rendering, or at least a more helpful rendering, is help us not yield to temptation. And so that's an easier one for me to pray. Lord, help me not yield to temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And that evil one, the devil, Satan, those dark and evil powers that wage war against your soul, where the Bible talks about it's like a roaring lion seeking to destroy. In fact, whenever you initiate godly kingdom principles and powers, the evil one is always there to thwart, to derail, to frustrate. How many times have you tried to initiate maybe a new pattern of scripture reading every day, or memorizing the Word of God, joining a Bible study, attending church, and suddenly circumstance presents itself to derail, to frustrate, to compete? health issues surfaces, fights break out. The evil one does not want you to succeed. That's one of the reasons we are taught to put on the full armor of God each and every day. And that's why I love praying, Lord, help me not yield to temptation, and deliver me and equip me and empower me this day with your Spirit to walk in steps with your leading so that I can be a faithful disciple of Jesus and your ambassador to this hurting world. Now, the scriptural text here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 that we call the Lord's Prayer ends with, but deliver us from the evil one. And it was later on that the saints of old concluded, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so that has been added, but I don't think Jesus is going to minimize your prayer when you worship him and God saying these words, attesting to his greatness, his great power, his great glory, and stating how awesome he is. I think it's a great way to close this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, as I hope and trust you would pray it in the morning and in the evening like I do, or whenever it comes to mind. And just don't recite these words. Let it be a template. Let it launch you into your own personal way of communicating with God. Well, listening friend, I gotta go. We're out of time for today's edition of Mark and Friends. But I hope you'll be listening as we're going to be announcing a special new prayer initiative to pray the Lord's Prayer at noon. We also are holding a community-wide prayer gathering. We want to fill the Virginia Theater on November 11th. It's a Saturday night, 7 p.m. We'll have much more to say about that in the coming days, where we're going to gather to worship and pray. We're not going to talk about prayer. We're not going to teach about prayer. We're going to pray and honor this great God that we serve. So put that on your calendar, November 11th. A lot more to say about that. That'll be held at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, Illinois. And may today's conversation about the Lord's Prayer maybe cause you to have new meaning as you stop and think about each and every word as you say it and pray it to the Lord. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.